Following the transmittal of the reports overseas, Raymond met his American operator, who was to become his sole manager from that moment on, and whom he would never remember as having seen, and whom he would never be able to recognize as his operator no matter where or when they met, because it had been designed that way. They were introduced, as it were, then the American asked to be alone in the room with Raymond. They conferred together for nearly 2 hours before Zilkov interrupted them. The two visitors in Raymond's room got into a heated argument, with Raymond watching them like a tennis spectator. Zilkov was a militant, bright young man. He maintained emphatically that Raymond must carry out a test assassination in order to complete the reflex checkout in a conclusive manner. The American operator opposed the suggestion violently and pointed out that it was both surprising and shocking that a security officer, with responsibility such as he held, would seek to risk a mechanism as valuable as Raymond. Raymond listened gravely, then turned his eyes to hear Zilkov's rebuttal, which of course pointed out that the mechanism had been designed for assassination, that it had been 5 years since it had been tested, that conditions offering minimum risk for police reprisal could be designed, and that as far as he was concerned, the test must be made before he would sign any certification that the mechanism was in perfect working order. The American operator said, "Very well. If that was how Zilkov felt about it, then Raymond should be instructed to kill an employee of the hospital on one of the sealed floors." Zilkov said he would order nothing of the sort, that the table of organization in the area was under acceptable strength as it was, as far as he was concerned, and that Raymond could damned well kill some non-productive woman or child on the outside. The American operator said there was no reason for Raymond to kill anyone unproductive, that there might as well be some feeling of gain out of this, since Zilkov was insisting on the risk, and recommended that Raymond's position at the newspaper, and therefore his general value to the party, might be considerably strengthened if he were to kill his immediate superior, Holborn Gaines, as it was possible that, after 5 years as Gaines' assistant, Raymond would be given his job, which in turn would bring him wider influence within the inner chambers of the American government. Zilkov said he had no interest in whom Raymond assassinated, so long as he worked efficiently and obediently. It was decided that Mr. Gaines should die 2 nights hence. Subsequently, the American operator complained bitterly through channels that Zilkov had been reckless and foolhardy with one of the party's most valuable pieces of apparatus in the United States, and most entirely needlessly, because Raymond had been checked out by Pavlov technicians. Unfortunately, the complaint was not made in time to save Mr. Gaines, but within 2 weeks, Zilkov was recalled and severely reprimanded. On his return to the United States, he could not have been more careful, both with Raymond and Raymond's operator, than if they had been his own department heads. On the morning of the 9th day at Swarden, less than 2 days before he murdered Mr. Gaines, Raymond awoke as from a deep sleep, surprised to find himself in a strange bed and in traction, but even more shocked to find himself staring directly into and on a level with the grief-ravaged face of his mother. Raymond had never seen his mother's face as being anything but smoothly held, enforced, carefully supported, arranged, and used to help her get what she wanted, as a Cadillac was used to get her where she wanted to go. The skin on his mother's face had been always flawless. The eyes were exquisitely placed and entirely clear, the whites unflecked by tiny blood vessels, merely suggesting malevolence and insane impatience. Her mouth had always been held well in, as the mouths of city saddle horses, and the perfect blonde hair had always framed all of this, and had always softened it. To open his eyes and find himself looking into a racked caricature of that other vision made Raymond cry out, and made his mother aware that he was conscious. Her hair was ragged and awry. Her eyes were rabbit red from weeping. Her cheeks shone with wet, washing away the cosmetic that always masked the wrinkles. Her mouth was twisted in ugly self-pity while she sobbed noisily and blew her nose into too small a handkerchief. She drew back instantly at his sound and attempted to compose her face, but it could not be done convincingly on such short order, and unconsciously she wanted to gain a credit for the feat she knew would be unbelievable to him. Her tears because of him.
"Raymond, oh, my Raymond."
"What's the matter?"
"Oh."
"Is Johnny dead?"
"What?"
"What the hell is the matter with you?"
"I came here as soon as I could. I flew here the instant I was able to leave."
"Where?" Pardon the cliché, but where am I?
The Swarden Sanitarium.
The Swarden Sanitarium where?
New York. You were hit by a hit-and-run driver. Oh, I was so frightened. I came as soon as I could.
When? How long have I been here?
8 days. 9 days. I don't know.
And you just got here?
Do you hate me, Raymond?
No, Mother.
Do you love me?
Yes, Mother.
He looked at her with genuine anxiety. Had she run out of arm sauce? Had she broken the arm-banging machine? Or was she just a very clever impersonator sent over to play the mother, while my true mummy tries to sober up the great statesman?
My little boy. My darling little boy.
She went into a paroxysm of silent weeping, working her shoulders up and down in a horrible manner and shaking the chairs she sat in. There was nothing faked about this, he knew. She must have hit some real trouble along the line. It simply could not possibly be that she was weeping over him being stretched out in a hospital. Mucus slid from the tiny handkerchief and rested on her left cheekbone. Raymond closed his eyes for a moment, but he would not tell her what had happened, and felt a deep satisfaction that ultimately she would look in some mirror after she had left him and see this mess on her face.
You are such a fraud, Mother. My God, I feel as well as I have ever felt, and I know that you have been all over this with whatever doctors there are out there on the telephone days ago, and now you're at the hospital because there is probably a sale at Bloomingdale's, or you're having a few radio actors blacklisted and you make a production out of it like I was involved somehow in your life.
His voice was bitter, his eyes were hard and dry.
I have to be a fraud, she said, straightening her back and slipping several lengths of steel into her voice, like whalebone into a corset. And I have to be the truth, too, and a shield, and the courage for all the men I have ever known, yourself included, excepting my father. There is so much fraud in this world, and it needs to be turned away with fraud, the way steel is turned with steel, and the way a soft answer does not turneth away wrath.
She had emerged, dripping with acid, from her grief. Her face was a mass of ravaged colors and textures, her hair was like an old lampshade fringe, and that glob of mucus still rested on her left cheekbone disgustingly. But she was herself again, and Raymond felt greatly relieved.
How's Johnny?
Fine. He'd be here, but that committee just finished working him over. Oh, wait until that one is up for re-election.
She sniffed noisily.
So I told him he must stay there and stare them down. You have no use for him anyway, so I don't know why you bother to ask for him unless you feel guilt about something.
I do feel guilt about something.
About what?
She leaned forward slightly, because information is the prime increment of power.
About Josie.
Who's Josie?
Josie Jordan, the senator's daughter.
Oh, yes. Why do you feel guilt?
His mother asked.
Why?
Because she thinks I deserted her. Raymond, why do you dramatize everything so? You were babies.
I thought that since we're having our first meeting, since I got the medal, since I got back from Korea, and I was in Korea for 2 years, I thought since you've been pretending to be two other people, you know, honest and maternal and wistfully remorseful about how we had let our lives go along, coldly and separately, and I thought that before we got any more honest and hated ourselves in the morning, that we might just pay Josie the respect of asking for her. You know, mentioning her name in passing the way they do about the dead.
His voice was choked. His eyes were not dry.